Hey, good morning, it's David. Let's just listen for 30 seconds to the sounds here. Those are some of the sounds around us all the time. I'm outside. I'm here in North Seattle right now on a walk. It's the morning of April 4th, 2020. This is our Good Morning Sunshine episode that we call Three Things. We try to do one of these a day, things that we focus on that are inspiring to us, that are firing us up. It's myself and Charles Douglas, who hosts this. And every once in a while, we'll bring in somebody else as well. Charles will call in here in a second. Across the street, there's some folks walking a dog. There's the sun is out. There's a lot of birds out. I happen to be on a street where there's some traffic, obviously. And I've been up since, it's 9:50 a.m. right now. I've been up since 6-ish because I've just been thinking about so many things in a good way to do and that we've got to make sure get done. Right now, I'm particularly thinking about making sure that people can vote fairly and safely in America. I'm thinking about the importance of leadership. Organizational leadership, the leadership each of us has to kind of wear in these times, thinking about family, what it takes to live out the idea of family, whatever our families are look like or how we define them. It's a challenging time. Never kind of think it's all that helpful to compare challenging times or difficulty or pain, because whatever it is, it is. But certainly this is a unique challenging time in my lifetime for the country and for myself personally with the social distancing that we're involved in and the ways in which we're no school at this regular time, not able to even go to the grocery store easily. But in the midst of that, such strength and determination and courage around us, people standing up for what's right, for making sure that we don't leave behind people that have lost their jobs through no cause of their own, because of the incompetence and the unpreparedness of our national leadership. We need to make sure that we provide health care for people who have these completely unexpected, couldn't plan for health crises right now. All of these things take all of us. I'm joined right now by Charles. Good morning, my friend.
How, what did I miss?
I think you missed a recap of Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals with LeBron making his block and then Kyrie hitting the shot. No, that's not what you missed.
Are you?
You missed
Oh, poor guy. Poor... Uber sports guy with no sports.
That's true. I'm watching I'm watching lots of 30 for 30s, the ESPN documentaries, right?
Yeah, those are good. Those are good.
They are. I'm watching them on things that, like, I have no interest in. It's a, you know, there's like the Australian Rules Football Championship 30 for 30.
Shuffleboard 30 for 30. It's like a corruption. Shuffleboard corruption. And you're like, wow, this is so interesting.
The behind the scenes maneuvering about, like, you know, where to hold the championships and what the what the surface was like. All right.
Yeah. Super interesting sports stuff right now.
All right. What kind of coffee are you making?
This is a part of three things is an education for David, who doesn't drink coffee at all and doesn't know anything about coffee. So I don't make a different coffee every day.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. So I get big bags of coffee, pounds of coffee, and then I grind enough to fit in my little airtight container thing, and then I just drink from that. So it's the same coffee for a few weeks, actually, until that goes down.
Huh. Okay. All right. So tomorrow I'm going to share one of my morning beverages. Okay.
You have a morning beverage?
I'm gonna tomorrow.
Okay. It better not be like a Sprite or something like that.
Dude, you'll just have to wait and see.
Wow, this is really exciting. I'm getting all right right now. I'm boiling water. I boil water the old-fashioned way, which you were amazed at when you heard that in one of our calls in the background.
Sure. So you put it on the stove and you actually boil the thing.
That's right. So it's going to whistle here in a little bit, and I'm going to pull it over.
So do you have a wood-burning stove?
Exactly. Yeah. So before I got on the call, I had to go gather wood. And then I lit the fire and all that, and then I called it. So we're good. We're good to go.
Sure. Hello? Yeah. All right, three things. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm here. I lost you for a second. You ready? All right, you want to go first? Or I'm ready to go if you don't want to go first. Okay, that means you're waiting, right?
That's what we're doing. You're going.
Okay, so I want to start with. I don't want to overshare because that's never a good thing, but I want to say that in the last 12 hours, a thing has arisen with our younger son that is a totally normal 12-year-old thing. But it's one of these life moments where you're called upon to parent and to shepherd and to love them through things. And you also have to calibrate it to the choices that I made when I was 12. Okay. Which were not always the best, my man. All right. My wife and I spent a lot of time talking about, how best to address it. Cause we knew he was going to get upset when we brought it to him. We talked it through, and this morning my wife talked to him, to our son, in a way that was, we thought would be most helpful. Like, we had to think through, like, who's going to talk to him, how are we going to talk to him, and what's going to be the setting and all of that. It was hard, but it was really very good. And he completely denied everything until we showed him the evidence. And then, okay. Sure. And then it was like, okay. And then he flipped a script and he fell apart, but also owned it. And there was a long conversation that ensued about good choices and honesty. I feel really like everything feels so damn meaningful to me right now. All right. Like, it just feels so like poignant. Like, there's no guarantees. Like, this is a moment that I want to just treasure, even in the midst of that challenge with him, because it's good. It's part of life. So
yeah, and that moment during this moment is significant, because it's not like you had that moment and then, you know, he's gonna go to school and hang out with friends and avoid you and whatever.
Right,
you're still gonna be with each other, and you're gonna interact some more, and he's gonna interact with you, and you're gonna see how he, you know, moves past this, and also you're understanding this is not the way it's gonna be ever again.
Good morning. Yeah, exactly.
So the good, right. The good stuff and the challenging stuff are things that you cherish all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's it like to be 12 in the middle of all this? He's doing the best he can too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's one thing you get you, that's getting you going during this crisis.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick one that's similar, and it's so first of all, I got to say, one day your son's going to listen to this episode and he's going to be mortified that you shared his moment.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
Hopefully he'll laugh. Okay. So mine is similar. And I think it's cool that the way we do these three things is, you know, somebody kind of goes and sets the tone and somebody else kind of feeds off of that maybe for one of the things. But mine is, so we recently had a baby girl.
Yeah.
March 10th, election day. And, you never know. We've got two other children. We've got two boys, Dejan and Kaikea, they're 16 and 13. And you never know, parents, you know what I'm going to say here. You never know how your kids are going to react when you bring a new baby home.
Yeah.
As you were talking about your son, I was looking at, we've got this this digital frame that's on on the coffee, and it's cycling through pictures. And I actually took pictures of her when she came home, and there's pictures of my boys like all around her, you know, hugging on her and wanting to hold her and stuff. And, I love how they have ownership of her and how they have fully accepted her into their lives. And they'll wake up in the morning, and the oldest Dejan will run upstairs, and instead of saying hi to us, he'll like say like, "Where's my sister?" And he'll go like run over to her, or he'll be getting food and doing his normal teenager thing, you know, where he's like, "I'm focused on my one thing, and I'm ignoring my parents," kind of thing. And then he'll like stop with her. He'll stop with her and sit with her on the couch for like a couple seconds, take a picture of her or take a picture with her, and then he'll go and do his thing. And it is, you know, it's not anything we asked him to do. It's nothing that, you know, that we said like, "Hey, this is how you interact with the new baby." But both of them, they've really accepted her, and it's been a beautiful thing to see that. And they've been forced to be here and interact with all of the family more. And I think what that means is, you know, more reason for them to think about her. And it's been something that's been one of the small things that has fed me throughout quarantine.
Yeah, that's awesome. If they could articulate it, and probably not, because I don't think most much older adults could articulate an answer to this question. Mm-hmm. But if they could, what do you think they would say, from your best guess as their dad, that they would say about about how having a sister has impacted them?
I think here's the other side of that. I think they just see her as a baby now and not as a sister yet. I think that at a very basic level, they realize that there's something we have to protect. We've talked about coronavirus, or just like
safety in general, like health safety in general with the baby. And I've heard them tell their friends, like, no, man, you can't come over here. We got a baby here.
Okay.
You know, we can't. I know, but they have said my sister. They have said, like, you know, you can't, you know, I don't want you to mess up my sister or something like that. I think it's someone that they want to protect is what I'm seeing right now. And then also somebody who makes a lot of noise. So those two things. My youngest is up, is his room is closest to us, and he's like, I hear him sometimes. He's like, dude, sometimes I'm playing games and I have to turn off my mic because my sister's crying. It's crazy. It's just so loud. I didn't realize they could scream so loud. So, yeah, little things like that.
Nothing like super heavy yet. I think that, like, a new human being is something that's tough for teenagers to figure out.
Yeah. Some friends of ours, this was like 25 years ago, who are older than us, so that they had kids that were much older than our kids. We didn't have them at the time. But they had a couple teenagers, and then they had like a much younger child. Okay. And one day, and we just think this is hilarious, but they probably do now, but at the time not. One of the older siblings just took the kid out, the baby outside, and set her on the porch and just said, like, I'm done. Okay.
That's good. That's really good. No, I haven't got any of that with my kids.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So the third thing, and it's got to be a CP thing, man.
Okay. All right. I'm really compelled by the way in which we're problem solving. Okay. Like just behind the scenes technology of like, how
am
I going to
talk
do-
about, oh my gosh. Yeah. Go ahead. This is great.
About how I'm going to deliver the lecture that I'm doing on Tuesday. So if you folks are listening to this and they haven't signed up and they want to, there's three lectures, April 7th, 14th, and 21st about the Republicans. You can sign up on Brown Paper Tickets. Just do a search for David Dompey and you'll come up. So we have to figure out how we're going to deliver these.
This is your shortest lecture, right? Because there's not a lot to talk about when it comes to them, right?
Yeah, exactly. nothing at all. Nothing, man. But Wole has like come up with five different approaches, and then you troubleshoot all of these, and then we have this other guy who's helping us out, Paul. And so we're working it all through, and then I have my own kind of like not very knowledgeable set of questions. And so like, just like, I'm going to get this 100-foot Ethernet cord one way or another. I'm going to get this.
Wait, hold on. You skipped way past. So we had a half an hour. It was scheduled for a half an hour call. That was about, it was a post-event recap meeting that we decided we would also talk a little bit about preparation for your lecture. And it ended up turning into an hour and a half live IT help desk session with three people on Zoom saying yes or no to, and trying to help you to connect your computer to the router physically. And you going through all your supplies and the pieces of your laptop and holding them up to the camera and asking if this is the thing that people are talking about. And is this what you, was this good enough to use? You had a microphone that was meant for song recording that you stole from your son's room. You had an Ethernet cord that was only 2 feet long. When your router is upstairs, you had an old router you tried to sell to us. I mean, it was a bunch of shenanigans. And we sat there, and the three of us yelling out orders to you.
I'm going to pull a Trump here. I'm going to be like, it was the very best. I couldn't have done it better. All right. It was, come on, the leadership you saw from me, the leadership, unbelievable. Let me just tell you. All right. But I felt like we were in it together, that you guys were very generous with me. And also that there was an organizational imperative here. We had to figure this out, and you all were devoting your time to help me figure it out. And my contribution to this is, like, I'm doing the lecture, right? So yeah, like, totally. I understand that I don't know the technology behind it, but I've got the content I'm going to deliver. So we're just trying to figure it out. And then today we're going to solve it. We're going to get it nailed down today.
Yeah, it is. We are rising to the occasion. But I mean, part of the reason why we all sat on the call, it didn't take three of us, maybe two, but definitely one would have been enough. But I think, you know, during these times, one, we're all working on new problems and coming up with new solutions. And so whatever we figured out in that moment would have been, what we recognized was good for all the lectures going forward or other events. And so we all kind of hung out and waited to see what came up. The other thing, though, is in that moment, it felt like community. It felt like, you know, we were in this together, and it felt like we were sharing. It felt more casual than just work. And, you know, at the end of that, I think one of the solutions was that Wale was going to sanitize and then drive over a microphone or something like that, and I was like, can I come? can I help deliver? I'll be in a car behind you, but you know, can we roll our windows down and like talk face to face while you go and deliver this to David? Because it's just, you know, it's been a while. We haven't seen each other, and we haven't seen each other physically in forever, and it felt like a really unique thing.
Yeah. So that's number three for me. So tomorrow I'm bringing the beverage and you're bringing two things. Okay.
You're going to have me bring two. Okay. I can do that.
All right. I need,
if you bring a beverage, it's got to be interesting. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. You can't just bring water.
No, I wouldn't do that. It's okay.
It's gotta be special water. Do you have special water?
Well, I can't tell you what it's going to be, man. You're trying to get it out of me.
Good. There you go. Woo. This is exciting. This is quarantine excitement right here. What kind of water is David going to bring tomorrow? Okay. This is good.
I'm just finishing my walk. I'm walking around like person number 75, because everybody, you know, walks around each other.
Do you cross? Wait. So when you walk, do you cross the street sometimes? Do you just walk in the street sometimes?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of the street right now.
Do you do the sidewalk thing where you like, oh, you're in the middle of the street? Okay, all right.
Yeah. No. I try to get out. I do try to go into the street, or if I have to stay on the sidewalk because it's like some super narrow, busy street or something, I'll press hard against like a fence or something, and people will go to the other side of the sidewalk, right?
I can picture you doing that. I can picture you doing it so much, like pressing so hard that people question whether either you have it or whether you think they do. And they're like, they're put off either way.
Right. Well, yesterday I'm walking along and got the headphones in. I think I was listening to music at the time. And when you got the headphones in, someone can come up behind you and you have no idea they're there until they pass you. Right. And so I'm walking along a normal sidewalk, and out of the blue, completely don't know what's coming, two people jog past me, but they're literally like right next to me. They jog right next to me.
Did you dive? You like dove out of the way. You're like, hey man, back off.
I did dive. I did like jump to the left, and part of me, like I really thought a lot about whether I should yell at them. Yes.
Wait, what would you say, since you thought about it? What would you say to them?
I've worked it over in my mind, man. Like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, all right? That's what you would say? You wouldn't say something with, like, more of a message? Like, hey, it's COVID-19 going on, and you're within the 6 feet. community member, need you to try harder to remember that. Well, that status too much. And is it no, actually the emotion?
Right. No, this is a good. It's a good way to end this call because there is no complexity to messages right now. There is simply showing up. Mm. All right. And so like sure. when we're advocating for all male voting, it doesn't matter what we're telling a representative on the phone. All we have to say is pass all male voting. That's it. Got it. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So if yeah. if I said, what the fuck are you doing after somebody passes me on the sidewalk, there's yeah, no, yeah. you know, the context is understood. Yeah.
Sure.
That's and I can't right. tackle that's them. Right. I can't tackle them because that's like not right.
Wait, so no, like if, without Corona, if it was a different thing. You tackle people. This is really good for the audience to learn these things about you. So, so even after we're done with this crisis, if you see David Donkey walking the streets of Seattle, wave, say hello, good morning, and that's it. Don't get too close. He may tackle you.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not responsible for the ingrained knee-jerk responses that occur there, right? I mean, like
those are that's lizard brain stuff. That's Michigan. That's Michigan. That's outskirts of Detroit stuff, which is was built into you as a kid. You're not responsible for that. You're right.
All right, man.
Okay.
I'll talk to you again in like 10 minutes. See you later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.